But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah, what a Savior. What an awesome God. What awesome music. Thank you, Brother Phipps and choir. Hasn't that been wonderful? Amen. Wonderful way to start the year 2010. God has been good to bless us, to bring us through the days of 2009. And with a great start for January 3, 2010. If I do not lift my arm too high, it's because the pastor twisted it almost off to get me to come and preach for him today. Well, I told you a long time ago that one of my favorite beatitudes is, blessed is the preacher that can get airborne without using too much runway. So I've used enough runway. Let's get airborne. Open your... Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 28, as you're finding your place, I want to remind you again that as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I'm glad we have it right here in this book. As your Bible is open to the book of Proverbs, let me remind you by way of introduction and some background that the book of Proverbs is generally known as the book of wisdom of the Bible. It was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by King Solomon, who, by the way, wrote 3,000 Proverbs and 1,005 songs. And had 300 wives and 700 concubines. What a story that is. The son of David, the great king, under his leadership, the nation Israel reached its zenith of power. He reigned from 975 to 935 BC for 40 years. He was the richest man on earth and the wisest. His income was $20 million a year, besides the taxes and the tariffs and investments. He's rich, he was wise, and he shared with us by the Holy Spirit's inspiration some wonderful things. I recommend to you to do what I've been doing for many years, read a chapter in the book of Proverbs every day. For example, this morning, I read chapter 3. The Lord willing, tomorrow morning, I'll read chapter 4 and on through the 31 chapters. So you can get wisdom from God's Word, and that is our great source. I'm going to read just one verse from chapter 28 of the book of Proverbs, verse number 13, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Now, Father, we are grateful again this morning for the opportunity on the very first Sunday of a brand new year, with the curtain drawn behind us on the things that are past. We look forward to the future. We look forward to greater things in this coming year for Worth Baptist Church. I pray your blessing upon our pastor and upon the staff and upon the men. I pray for every segment of the population. I pray especially today for our precious widows and widowers. May they be comforted today as only the Holy Spirit can do that. Now bless the reading of this verse and speak to the hearts of every person here. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 13. I want you to notice two words specifically. The word covereth and the word confesseth. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Sin, ladies and gentlemen, is public enemy number one. Sin carries with it a tremendous price tag. Paul said in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Ezekiel wrote in his 18th chapter at verse 4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. James wrote in 1:15, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Ladies and gentlemen, sin can be covered up. Look again, he that covereth his sins. Sins can be covered up, but let me tell you, the cost is too high for you to pay. History is replete with victims who have attempted to conceal their sins from God. If you don't believe it, ask Adam or Jacob or David or many others. For you see, reaping time is sure, is certain, is inevitable. Look again at the first word now of verse 13, the word he. The word he in the text is any member of Adam's ruined and wretched race. You and I are included in that word he. You and I are guilty. There are no exclusions, no exceptions, no exemptions, no excuses, no kidding. For all, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Death is the ultimate end of every man. Could I tell you this morning that you have an appointment with a judge of this universe? Could I tell you that you're under the sentence of death? Could I tell you that you're on death row and your execution could come at any moment? Listen, my friend, we are all facing death. In Romans chapter number 14, verses 11 and 12, Paul says, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Paul wrote in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die. It's not an accident, it's an appointment. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And in Romans 5:12, Paul wrote, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Watch this now. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've entitled this message, the cost of covering sin. Now the question arises, what can man do about the sin problem? Have you thought about that lately? What can you do about it? What can I do about it? Well, I hasten to tell you that every man has two choices. Both of these choices are addressed in my text. Let me read it again. He that covereth, that's number one. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth, that's the second choice. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Choice number one, you can cover up your sins with shame, with ignorance, or with pride. But I must warn you, no covering is sufficient. And no covering is permanent. When you cover your sins, you automatically and arbitrarily put aside God's purpose for your life. You render God's blessings forfeited in your life. The mercy, the grace, the forgiveness. When you cover your sins, you obliterate any chance to prosper. When you cover your sins, you write your own prescription for misery. No man, listen, no man, that includes you and me, no man can prosper with unconfessed sin in his life. Can I repeat that? No man can prosper with unconfessed sin, and no man can escape the consequences of sin. It is written in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth of his flesh shall reap corruption. He that soweth of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Now, stay tuned for choice number two. You need to hear this. You can confess and forsake your sins. And I'm bold enough to tell you, this is the only, I repeat, the only sane and sensible thing for you to do. Look again at my text. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I have a personal question. Have you made the right choice? Are you depending on your baptism to get you to heaven? Are you depending on the fact that you one time took communion? Or that you turned over a new leaf, or you signed a card, or you shook the preacher's hand and said, hey, I'm all right now. Oh no, confess and forsake. That's the choice that you and I must make. The cost of covering your sin is canceled when you confess and forsake them. For you see, God is faithful and just to forgive. It's plain. It's simple. Here it is. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. When you meet God's condition, God will forgive your sins. Listen to it. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. Now listen to this. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is the condition? Confession always precedes forgiveness. Now listen to the next verse is verse number 10. If we say we have not sinned, I really don't know how to read this. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. Did you get that? Does that not just shake you to your boots to say that we finite beings would call God a liar? That's what it says. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. God's covering is the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross provides the one and only way of redemption and covering of sin. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, salvation is in a person. And only in a person. And only in one person. And that person is Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it clear, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Not in a creed, not in a covenant, not in a church, not in some condition, but in Christ. In Christ alone is our salvation provided. Man attempts to cover his sin in order to escape judgment. My friend, God provides the only escape from judgment. And that's the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God for sinners slain, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Surely he hath borne our griefs, Isaiah said, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Who can scale the heights or delve into the depths of the price that God paid for the redemption of our sins? Ladies and gentlemen, deep is his love, high is his grace, and wide is his mercy. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice, which is more than liberty. There's welcome for the sinner, and good graces for the there's welcome for the sinner, and more graces for the good. There's mercy with the Savior, and healing in his blood. Notice three words: in his blood. It wasn't his beautiful birth, virgin born, though that was the only miracle of its kind ever. But it's in his blood, and his blood washes us and makes us kings and priests. That's what John said in the Revelation 1, 5 and 6, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and unto his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. You didn't know you were looking at a king, did you? Well, go home and look in the mirror. You'll see another one. Not as good looking, but you'll see another one. I'm saying to you, it's the blood that justifies us. Romans 5, 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What does that word justify mean? It means just as if I were never a sinner. Wow. That's a good standing. That's a good status, isn't it? Just as if I were never a sinner. His blood entered the holy place. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place. Once. He entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself to God without spot, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For as much as ye know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. My friend, if you're saved this morning, God looks at you through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And Calvary covers it all. Amen. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Yes, sin abounds, ladies and gentlemen, but grace all the more abounds. So said Paul in Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Sin, here's the good news. Are you ready? Sin, ladies and gentlemen, was put away at the cross. Paul wrote it in Hebrews 9:26. Once, underscore that word once. Listen to me, there will never be another Pilate's Hall. There will never be another Garden of Gethsemane. There will never be another trail of tears and blood. There will never be another crown of thorns. There will never be another riven side. There will never be another sacrifice for sin. Because once, in the end of the world, He hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Amen. Once for all, O brother, believe it. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ has redeemed us once for all. Well then, what does God do with our sins? Have you ever wondered about this? Well, I suggest three things that God does. Number one, He forgets them. God has a bad case of divine amnesia when it comes to your sins and mine. Now, that's what the Bible says. And folks, I didn't write this. I'm just reading it. I'm not in management. I'm in sales. Listen very carefully. He forgets our sins, according to Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God forgets those sins and puts them under the blood? Not only that, but He puts them behind His back. Isaiah 38 and verse 17 says, "For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." I love this third thing. He cast them into the depths of the sea. Micah 7 and verse 19, "And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Wow. And by the way, could I tell you, when God dumps your sins in the sea, He puts up a no fishing sign. "Happy day, oh happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its wonders all abroad. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away." And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely. My friend, salvation is offered to you without any cost to you whatsoever. You don't even have to put a down payment down on it because it's all paid for. Jesus paid it all. And here today, you can trust on this very, what a wonderful Sunday. What a wonderful day to step out and say, "I'm going to identify with Christ. I'm going to commit my life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to put my life on the altar as a Christian." Can I speak to Christians as well as to unsaved? "Or I'm going to join the church. This is my place. This is my choice. I'm going to be a part of this church." First Sunday of a new year. What a wonderful, great start that would be. And remember, God says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Jesus Himself gives you this invitation. Come under that labor and are heavy laden. And I myself will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Come, for all things are now ready. This is the hour. This is the moment. Today is the day. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed. The invitation has already begun. The altar is already open. Now, please listen very carefully. You're here this morning without Christ. I think you would have to agree with me that this message that God gave me has been designed primarily for you as an unsaved person. Are you here today having never trusted Christ? Oh, you may have joined the church or been baptized or learned the catechisms, or you may have sat at the Lord's table. You may have done all of these things, but I ask you, have you been born again? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? I address another group. Are you here this morning as a believer? You want to start the new year right. A lot of mistakes in the old year. All of us made them. But thank God that's past. We're covered. But you'd like to come this morning as a believer, as a Christian, and say, I want to recommit my life to Christ. I address a third group. You may be here looking for a church home. I would highly recommend that you step out and unite with Worth Baptist Church today. Begin the new year right. Heavenly Father, speak to all of our hearts this morning. The lost, the saved, those seeking a church home, those who need to commit their lives to Christ, or recommit and rededicate for a fresh start, putting 2009 all behind us, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward those things which are before. May it be so in Jesus' name.